Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my very special guest, Mr. Jacob Brent from University of the Arts. Thank you so much for joining us, Jacob.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So, Jacob, as we all know, we like to get to know the person before the program. So my first question for you is to share with us a little bit about your career and training and history that led you up to your time at University of the Arts.
Yeah. I started, like most everyone else, as a performer in this career, and I had a really good teacher and a couple of mentors tell me, explain to me that this art form, this sort of American musical theater art form, is best when it is passed down from generation to generation. And so I had some really great teachers and mentors, and that is kind of how I got into this. I was told early on that it was my almost a duty of mine to gain the knowledge and then turn it around and pass on that knowledge. So this idea of being an educator, passing it along, has always been sort of instilled in me in the beginning. I come from a higher ed family. Both my parents worked in education. So it's always been around. I've always been around it. I grew up on a college campus with my dad. I just felt inevitable that I was going to be somehow in this higher ed world. So I sort of did that later on. Going back, I came up through it. I moved to New York. I auditioned for a couple of shows, most known for being in the Broadway production of Cats, both in Broadway and West End. And I did the 1998 pro shot of that as well. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess.
And so that transition from the professional world into the higher ed world, how long ago was that? How long have we been at college?
Yeah, it's been a while, doesn't it? It seems like a while in like no time. Like we all, what is time now in 2023, really, right? But
right.
Around 2014, I think I made the decision to go back to grad school. And really, I wanted to make that decision. I wanted to do that for myself, to really pull over on the side of the road and like take time out of career, go get my master's in musical theater, and really just to dive into this. So that's when it kind of started. And upon graduation, yeah, I got a job right out of graduation at an institution, and then I've moved, and this is my third institution, and I think this is going to be it. I'm really, really happy with the arts.
Oh, that's wonderful. So which degree or degrees are you overseeing at UArts?
I am the musical theater program director, so I oversee the BFA in musical theater.
Okay, and because I put everyone on the spot, I'm going to ask you for your elevator pitch on the BFA Musical Theater at UArts. Why should people be interested in going? What are the highlights? 60 seconds or less.
Oh my God, 60 seconds. Okay.
It's okay. An elevator pitch. Here we go.
Elevator pitch. We are a conservatory-style BFA Musical Theater program that is, I'm interested in enriching your professional and personal experience by immersing you into the world of singing, dancing, and acting. We want to take what you have, your abilities that you have, we want to celebrate those abilities while giving you a scaffolding and a skeleton in which to put new techniques and experiences on that to make you a more well-rounded performer to come out and work in the industry, to be highly competitive in the industry, and have a lifelong career in musical theater that will look different throughout your life. Did I make it in 60 seconds?
I'm not sure. I never time it, but that was actually really good.
And yeah, and hopefully, you know, throughout this podcast, we will expand on that. But that's like,
we will.
That's the thing. That's the big thing. I'm interested in what you bring into the room, what makes you special, what, you know, we all have special talents. And yeah, I'm interested in exploring that and seeing how we can hone and create and mold that and not tear that down and not make that something else.
Very well said. And normally now I would dive into the program, but actually, could you just tell us a little bit more about what UArts is? What is the University of the Arts in Philadelphia?
So we are a conservatory that is, it is, I'm going to start that over. We are a conservatory that is based fully in the arts. We have 26 undergraduate programs that are all in the visual or performing arts. It is a full, everyone here is an artist of some kind. Just our mediums are different, right? So that's what I love about this school. It is in Philly. It's in the heart of Philly. It's on the University of, it's on the Avenue of the Arts, which is wonderful to be supported by our city like this. And what I think is so cool is that everyone here is interesting and unique in their own way and their own artistry. You're living and working with other artists from different things. So you're on the elevator with a guitarist. You're on the elevator with a ceramics major. You're living with an illustrator. You're eating with dance majors. Like, it's just everyone here. The vibe and the energy here is just, it's just really cool. It's really cool to be around all these people that are here for, that are passionate and here for the same reason, even though the medium might be different.
That's really cool. So I am a BFA musical theater major, freshman year. Just moved to Philadelphia. I'm about to start my first day at University of the Arts. What does my first year look like?
Ooh, good question. Exciting, because we are going, and I'm glad we're doing this, because we're going through a whole curriculum change. We just rehauled everything. We took everything, kind of threw it out, starting brand new. Your first year is going to be prepping. We are prepping you for your artistry, and you're getting your instrument in order. So we're doing dance classes. We're doing acting classes. We are doing voice lessons. We are doing music skills. We are doing like freshman year classes, where we take all the freshmen, put them together, and talk about like just things about like college and time management and mental health in this profession and how to not burn out and all things like that. So we're that's what your first year sort of looks like. And what I'm excited about this curriculum for is that it really does, in the first year and second year, around your spring of your sophomore year, you start to get to make a choice. And what we've done is sort of, we have these tracks that you can go on. So if someone is coming here and is like a full dancer, we want you to go on that track. If you're here and you're like music and you want to be an MT that also maybe music directs, there's a track for you there. If you're an MT who really wants to also dive into Shakespeare and really acting, more of the acting track, there is a track for you there. So everyone is getting a BFA in musical theater. We're all going to come together. We're all going to get the same thing. But we have these moments where you can kind of dive in and dig a little and go a little deeper. So I'm finding that that's what I was finding, is that students really want a BFA, but they also want a choice in what that BFA looks like. So we have designed the new curriculum to kind of give that opportunity for the students.
That's really interesting. So let's talk about that a little bit more, just to give examples of what that could mean for someone. Sure. Let's say someone is coming in and they are a really strong dancer. So right off the bat, are they able to level up in their dance classes to start with? And then they want to become a choreographer. So yeah. What does their track look like?
Oh, good question. Good question. Yes, we do level our students in dance when they come in. So not all freshmen are taking the same ballet class. You will be placed in a ballet class that's appropriate. I find that just, it works for me. I think it works for the students. You know, we have some students that have been dancing since they were 3 and can come in and, you know, they do all the things. We have other students that have been dancing for a year or maybe only do dancing in the shows that they've been in. So it's not really, I think it's great to separate them so that everyone is in the level that they feel comfortable learning at. So it is possible that you could start at a higher level, and then everyone has to take at least X amount of credits in dance. And then once that happens, you can move on. You can take more dance. You can take a higher level jazz, higher level ballet, higher level tap. We have things. Everyone will take a musical theater rep dance class, but then we have rep dance 2 that you can go on. You can proceed, and that's where we can do a little bit harder things in that that level. And then, of course, you were asking about choreographers and such. And so all of our productions have either a student choreographer or a student assistant choreographer on them. So that is a way to continue that work. Because we definitely have people that want to be dance captains in their life. They want to be choreographers. And so how do you learn that? You learn that in the room with someone, sitting next to someone, working with them. So we always have that opportunity for them, for students to be able to do that.
How much freedom do students have with the curriculum or how much is sort of already laid out for them for all 4 years?
Yeah, I'm going to say generally it's laid out. It's more like you get to pick like 2 classes per year that you get to like choice of what you want to do. So that we all are still in our studio lab classes, like our musical theater lab classes. Everyone has to do that. Everyone's taking music skills, except for like, and that way, if you wanted to be a music director, you might take more advanced music skills while someone is taking more of a advanced musical theater rep dance class, right? If that's the thing that you're just like, this is just not going to be me. But we wanted to find those areas so that we can all still be MTs and kind of dive a little deeper into the areas that we want to go. And if someone is like Shakespeare, or like acting, you know, they can go that route.
Now, you had mentioned that it's a conservatory, and I know that that means many different things in the United States. Everyone sort of uses that term freely and loosely to be whatever they need it to be at the time. But in the case of UArts, are there gen ed requirements as part of the degree?
Yes and no. Yes, we have what we call critical studies. And there are a couple of those. I believe you have to do 6 of those while you're here. And those range from all different kinds of topics, from food, religion, money, music, dreams, things like that. So they're going to take a topic. You're going to look at it through a critical lens. You're going to look at it through an artistic lens, how that comes through, so that you're really, they're focused on using those critical study skills to think about this topic and dive deep into this topic. What we kind of don't have here is, you know, algebra 101 sort of that core skills. It is a conservatory, so it is all looking at things through an artistic lens, and you're in those classes with other artists, So you're all looking at it in that sort of way.
Got it. Got it. So there's not a ton of any math science. It's more
we have no math. Liberal arts. We do have psychology stuff. So, you know, it is you can do that for one of your critical studies, which a lot of people do. And if you're someone that really just really is dying to take math, we definitely have partnerships with other area universities that you can go over there and take some of their classes that will count here as well.
Great. I'm excited to learn about the performance opportunities.
Yeah.
I assume it sounds like with an entire college full of artists, there has to be some pretty wild performance opportunities there.
We do a lot. I will say that. We do a lot of performances. I believe this year we did 26 performances for the year. Now, not all those are main stage musicals. We didn't do 26 musicals. But we have a curated season, which is at some places, they're, you know, the main stage season. We call it curated season. Those are going to be two musicals a year, one in the fall, one in the spring, accompanied with our plays that we do, usually either two in the fall or two in the spring, and then one in the fall, one in the spring. So three plays and two musicals are in that curated season. Then we do an actor's lab, which is in the spring, and that's with a junior musical lab. It is a pared down version of a show that's really focusing on the work, on really the text, on the music. It is the idea of these shows is that it's in I don't want to say black box production, but it's in our black box. But the idea is that it's really focusing more on the work and not the production side of it. We do do those. But this is really about, like, what is the student? This is about the student and what they're doing and their work. Then we have, like, senior projects that happen. So we have a whole a degree, a design and playwriting degree and directing that our directors and playwrights do their senior projects. So, and sometimes those are musicals. So there are opportunities of that. We have a playwriting festival. We also do a huge festival in the spring called Polyphone, which is a festival of new works. So it is, this year we had four new works. Four teams come in, teams from all over, playwrights, composers, directors, and we pair them up with our students and they get a nice production of a new show. It's a little more than a staged reading and a little less than like a full Broadway show. But that's been really fun. And we've had some really great people here. Michael R. Jackson was here. His White Girl in Danger started here. There's a new show, Cowboy Bob, that started here. There's lots of shows that have started here and gone on and had a life. So it's really cool for our students to be able to work with those people and also be in that room and learning how to, you know, not only do an existing published musical, that's great, that's fun, but also like, how are you gonna handle this when you're getting new pages? When a song just comes in, you know, 2 days before the show opens and the composer's like, oh my gosh, this character needs this song. And it goes right in. And so our students are in those rooms learning how to do new work as well.
That's amazing. Are there student-led productions as well? You mentioned the senior projects, but are there like student-led performance organization? Performance organizations? Yeah. on campus? Sorry, those words didn't sound right.
We sort of have some, but we make it so that the students have so much ability to do their work supported by the school that there's not really a need for like a student run like theater program, so to say, you know, our producing program. We produce a lot of student work. We do three student works in the fall and about three or four in the spring. So those are produced by the school. You get time, you get money, you get space to do those things. So there's no fundraising for you to do that. It's all part of the, there's an application and you apply to do your project, but yes, we do those. I mean, student work is so important. And so like, it's just a big part of our curriculum and a big part of the students' journey through this, of being able to have that where they're in control and they're making the decisions. And we are sort of hands off. You get an advisor, but it's really sort of what the students want to do with that.
And what about at the end of the 4 years, as far as, you know, saying, you know, we've had you for 4 years, mm-hmm. now go off into the industry. How do you help with that transition?
Yeah. So, well, I like to think that as soon as you come in, we're like helping you in the industry. Like I don't feel like college is this thing that happens and then suddenly we put you out into the world. Like where we are, and we are surrounded by so many theaters and we're so accessible. Like the industry we're so accessible to the industry, or we have access to that I feel like our students are in it as soon as they get here. You know, Walnut Street is just down the street. The Wilma's down the street. Philadelphia Theater's down the street. So we have relationships with all these theaters. So they're getting to know our students throughout the 4 years that they're here. And sometimes a lot of them in their junior, senior year are understudying at these theaters, or they're calling them in for the next season that's happening. So I feel like it's this thing that's just kind of like, it's a slow rise. Like, you know what I mean? Like once you get here, it starts, and it's not this like senior year. Now you're done. We cut you off and good luck. So that is what I feel like happens. Also in your senior year, there are classes that we have. We have an MT audition and preparation class. So we that is really focused on going into the room. And actually, it's not even focused on going in. It's really focused on like after you get that call back, what do you do? Because we also focus on the audition and sort of your sophomore, junior year, we're focusing on the actual audition. And in the senior year, we're sort of focusing on, okay, now that you've gotten, how do you do this callback when they give you all these pages to come in tomorrow and you're ready to like, you know, you have to produce that. So that's that. We have a business of performance class, which we're going to talk. And that class, we talk more about like agents, casting directors, contracts, unions, all those kind of things. So we break that up. And then we have another class that's called the personal finance for the performer. So that class, we're really talking about money. And like, how are you going to survive? How are you going to live? How do you do taxes? All that kind of stuff. So there's three big classes that we have to sort of prepare you for post-college life. And then also we bring in agents, casting directors through that, through classes here, workshops here. And we do a senior showcase that also has, you know, to present you to the world. So I think through all of those things, it's not like one thing we do. It's multi-prong thing, the approach to get you ready to leave.
Great segue. Let's talk about that senior showcase a little bit more. What do you guys do for a showcase?
Oh my gosh. I feel like it changes all the time because the industry is constantly changing, right? And then like,
yep.
Like, so I love that. I love that we have the flexibility to make that happen. We've done both. We've done New York Live, where we've gone to New York. We've also done, in conjunction with that, virtual showcase and sent that out. So right now we're doing sort of both. And I think we're going to see what it is. I think where everyone is like waiting, like, are we staying with the virtual thing? Are we going back to live? What, I mean, there's pros and cons to both, right? So I love that we're able to just have the flexibility to change and really what the industry wants and what the industry needs. So we're still working on that.
Just because it's a timely question that I receive every year, and you just said pros and cons to doing both in-person showcase and virtual showcase. Let's talk about a virtual showcase and how you've done it. What do you see as the pros of doing that? Because you're right, the industry is changing, and a lot of schools are going to do in-person, and I try to explain why in many ways it's better, but I just want them to hear from somebody else. What do you think the pros are from doing that virtually?
One, I think we can get a really, you know, we can get a really good take on your performance. I've seen it where students, we go live and we've built this thing up. It's your live showcase in New York, and you go to New York and you're ready. And suddenly that day just doesn't happen for you, you know? And then you've put all of these chips into that one performance that maybe for some whatever reason doesn't go the way you want it to go. We can sort of take that out with a virtual showcase. We can take that pressure, that anxiety away from that and really get a good performance from you. I think it's something that it's tangible that you're able to leave the school with. This is something that you can use for a while. You have a really good recording of you that's set up and professionally shot and with lights and a Steadicam and all those things. Like I just feel like I like it because it feels like a gift from the university to you, that you've put in this work, you have come here, we've invested in you, and it's something that you can actually take away with you and not just like, oh yeah, I had a showcase one time in New York and it's gone. And I think also just people like to sit and watch it. I find that there's so many clicks on our virtual showcase from people, and I feel like we get a lot of traction that way. A lot of people are enjoying being able to sit. Now, it's hard to get that feeling from a live showcase too in those. So, that's just right. And how, I don't know if you'll ever get that, but.
Do you feel like more people see it? I mean, do more industry people actually go and check these out because they can do it from their living room and not have to, you know, get on the subway or get in a cab to go see it or come to campus?
I'm finding that they're actually clicking more, and we're getting equal, if not more, response from online, from people contacting our students being like, hey, I saw your virtual showcase, I'd love to talk to you.
Got it.
I think it's hard live in New York too. Like, I also experienced this past year, like, we had a lot of people sort of late to our showcase because they were at another school showcase that ran over, and then they're trying to run to ours, and it just, I was like, oh man, like, you know, it's just easier. And now thankfully we have this virtual so that we can send it to them and they can see the people that they maybe missed or whatever. But I just think we're always going to have a virtual component. I don't think that's going away.
So you've seen success with your students at Showcase. Since we've gone to this hybrid.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Yeah. So much that I'd be more apt to like not do the live portion but keep the virtual portion, just go to virtual.
Great.
But we're so we are so close to New York, it's sort of silly. Like we're an hour away. Like we should go. You know.
Right. Yeah, true. So is there the ability to minor or study other things?
Yeah.
at yours?
Oh my gosh, totally. Most people have a minor. There are, from what I understand, there are 19 minors on campus that you can minor in. A lot of people minor in, like, there's, oh my gosh, different things. Photography is one that I know someone's minoring in. Creative writing, guitar, pretty much anything that you want to do, there's a minor for it here.
And other than you, of course, talk to us about the other key faculty members that students will interact with while they're there.
Yeah, what this is something that I think sets our school sort of apart is that your faculty here is a working faculty. Everyone is still performing. Everyone's in shows. Most people are in shows or working or directing or choreographing somewhere. So that's what I love about it is that we are a faculty of professionals, working professionals that are still in the business, still learning about what the industry, the trends in the industry, what's happening, and able to bring that back into the classroom and really give that information to our students. So, you know, I think that's important. And it's not, mm-hmm. that's what excites me sort of the most about being here is that somebody can go, oh, wait, this is happening. Or, hey, I was just in an audition and this person asked for this. And I just want to bring this back to our students just so that we know this is really what's happening. And it's not something that happened in the 80s and 90s when I, you know, and people are still no, I'm not trying to shade anyone, but I'm just saying, you know, like that's what I think is so great about this faculty.
You almost said in the 80s and 90s when I was doing it.
Well, that's, yeah.
I heard that almost come out.
When I was, you know, and just that's when I was acting, right? Mm-hmm. But now that I'm on the other side of the table and stuff, I feel like, you know, I'm still around, still in it, and still working in that mm-hmm. way, in a different way, which is great.
Right, I heard you were going back to the junkyard this summer.
I just got back, yes. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, you are?
It was awesome. Oh, great. It was awesome to go and visit an old friend is what it felt like. It felt like a college reunion, high school reunion. It was awesome. Yeah.
So one last question about the school before we move on to the auditions. Yeah. Can you talk to us just a little bit about, you know, we mentioned it's in Philadelphia, but tell us a little bit about the neighborhood and the things that there are to do around the school and around campus.
Oh my gosh. Philly is awesome. Philly is fantastic. I love this city. I didn't think I would love it, or I didn't really know much about it. And I knew there was like a bell and it was cracked, and we definitely have that. But it's really a cool, cool city to me. Having lived in New York for 20 years, I feel like it's just a great, great place to be. I still get that vibe. I still get that city vibe, but I don't get the intensity of New York so much. You know, it feels like you can still walk on the street and like you don't have to run anywhere, right? It's but it's really fun. It's and we are in the heart of the downtown, or like in the heart of the city. And it's great here. Everything's like Americana, you know. This is where like America started and happened, and like so everything is Thomas Jefferson, everything is George Washington, or James Madison. So it's really cool. It's really awesome. And the food here is incredible. The restaurants, I haven't been to a bad restaurant yet. It's just really awesome. And we have great outdoor space, and we have great like green space. And so I kind of say like, you know, the city is your campus when you're here, which is really cool for those students that are definitely looking for that. You know, I think that if you're looking for a city school, this is a really great choice. And, you know, we might not have a sports team, but we do have the, you know, Phillies, and we do have the Eagles, and we do have the 76ers. So, like, all of that is here. And, you know, game days are a little crazy in the city. Not going to lie to you. But it's really fun. So we have that sort of that feeling of, you know, that sports feeling here as well, if you want that.
You would definitely classify your campus, though, as an urban campus where everything is in one building or a couple of tall buildings, and
yes.
There's no real big quads and big
like I said, like if that's really what you want, and I totally understand, like, yes, then you know, but we do have our campus is made up of like 5 or 6 buildings around campus, are around the city. They're all within like a 2 or 3 block radius of each other. And we do have a lot of parks. So we don't have a quad, but we do have Rittenhouse Square. So we go, you know, students go over there and have a picnic on the lawn, all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. And then your dorms are apartment buildings. So we don't have like traditional dorms. We have, you live in an apartment building that is just for us.
That's nice.
So it's nice. So yeah, we don't have any of those like dorm halls with like a shared bathroom. Yeah, everyone has their own bathroom. Some have like little kitchens. It's really, really cool. It's really nice. So you get that feeling of like really living independently while you're here.
So let's change gears now and talk about the audition process.
Yes.
First, I'm going to ask you some numbers, if I could. Approximately how many applicants, first question, do you pre-screen?
We do not pre-screen. If you want to audition for us, I'm going to see you.
Beautiful. So how many applicants do you see each year?
This year, I believe we had around 400, and I'm really rounding that either up or down. Like it's around 400. It was like 380 or 420, somewhere in there. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're going to say 400.
And so other than an on-campus audition opportunity, do you audition anywhere else?
We do. We do unifieds. We do all the unifieds, New York, Chicago, LA. And we do a lot of other places that we go to, private sort of stuff. But those are the big ones. And then we do like 3 on-campus auditions, and we do a virtual day audition. So we do 3 live, 1 virtual, and then we always have asynchronous reviews that happen.
So, that's great.
So there's many ways to find us and for us to find you.
And so what is the target number for an incoming class that you're looking for?
I'm looking for 24 to 28 people.
And so how many admits do you offer to get to that number usually?
Oh, wow. That changes. That changes. It just depends on the year and depends on the students. I like to sort of offer, what I don't like to do is just offer like, you know, 200 people and hope that 24 say yes. We kind of target it to who we actually, you know, we as a faculty get together, who we actually like see that we all agree on, that we're like, yes, we want this student. We have a vision for the student. We see what that is. And so we sort of offer that, and hopefully that works out for us. It's a good fit for us, and it's a good fit for the student to come to us.
And so do you operate on a wait list then?
We have a wait list, or a priority hold list, as we like to call it. Some places call it. And it's just that most of the time we love all those people on that list. It's just that we want to make sure that we see everyone before that we want to say yes, we love you. We want to make sure that we see everyone before we make final decisions.
Great. And one other question is, in order to get an offer, Is it you that has to have the final say, or is it input? How do you determine who's getting offers?
Yeah. So,
trying to pull back the curtain a little bit here, and we are fresh out of audition season. So I'm also trying to dispel rumors as much as I can. So I'm asking lots of questions I didn't tell you I was going to ask.
I love it. I love it. transparency. Like, let's not have, there's no gates. There's no gates here. We should not have any gates. And that's why I don't do pre-screen. You will see either me or someone else. And then we kind of come together and we kind of the day. Okay. So say there's a couple of rooms happening. I like four people. Someone else likes four people. We come back together and we say, okay, here are the four that I want to accept. And here's the reason why. And here's what I see in the student. This is what this student brought into the room. The student was magical. We would be fools not to accept them. And then the other person says, okay, here are the four people that I saw today. And then we say, oh, great. And then if we really have a question, we go back to, we don't pre-screen, but we do ask people to send in their videos of their materials so that we can, if there is something, we can go back and look at that person. But I like to have, you know, it's not just me teaching them for 4 years. I don't want that. It's us as a team. I feel like we are really your first team out of high school. Everyone needs to have a vision for you here. So we try to get as many people as can be to agree on the people that we accept. So that's not just one person being like, well, I love this person and I'm sorry that all of you don't like them. Okay. I mean, that's no one wants that person. That student doesn't want to be in this program. Right. And we, you know what I mean, vice versa. So it feels like I want everyone on the team to be like, yes, we have a vision. Dance has a vision. Voice has a vision. We're going after this student.
So Jacob, what is your vision on the perfect student for you? What qualities are you looking for?
Oh, wow. What qualities am I looking for? I love someone that's just passionate about musical theater. I'm the biggest musical theater nerd. I woke up today. I was so excited for the Tony Award nominations. You know, I'm that person. So I want someone that has that and really has a hunger to do this and up for the challenge is what I feel like. And, that doesn't necessarily have to be the most talented student. This is about access. It's about what have you had access to. I think with things like TikTok and socials, and there's a lot of stuff that you can have access to. So, but I don't need you to be fully polished, ready to go into a Broadway show when you get here. Or else go do it. You know what I mean? Like you're ready, go do it. But I do like, I just, someone that has passion, it's a really tough, industry as we know, it's not always easy and fun. But if your why is there and the strong why is there and that you really want to dive into this and study this, then I'm that's something that's really, really checks a box for me. Yeah. And the other thing that I would say, like, you know, the best thing that I can see is like students that come in and like sort of have an idea of who they are. Like, I'm really interested in who you are. And that doesn't mean that you have to belt the highest note of anybody else that day. It just means that you have to know, like, who you are right now. And who you are right now might not be who you are at the end of 4 years. But I see people that come in and don't even check that box for themselves. They don't even check, like, this is me. This is what I bring. This is what I bring today. And not even like, I hope you like it, but like, here I am, I want to share this. And that to me is like the most, that's like a really thing that sparks me, mm-hmm. that goes, ooh, I wonder what else they have. What else does that person have to offer? And so that's exciting for me, instead of someone that comes in and is like trying to please me or trying to please whoever they're auditioning for a quote unquote BFA program, like trying to be what they think we want the BFA program to be. It's like, no, you are the program. I want you. And if you're not going to check the box that says you, then I don't know how I can check it if you're not going to check it. Does that make
absolutely
sense? Did I just ramble
absolutely
on?
Absolutely. No, that was you're doing great. Okay. So, last question. Tell us something you're looking forward to.
Oh. I'm looking most forward to this new curriculum that we are implementing with this round. So this next round, the incoming freshmen will be on it. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm looking forward to just getting back to, like, I feel like this year has just been like cranking back up of like, we're just the wheels. We've been cranking the wheels and they're a little rusty from being 2 years away. And like, oh, right, we used to do this and that's right. And oh, this is harder than this. And like, I just feel like we're just starting, the train is like really going. And I'm excited to get back to that moment where it's just like all cylinders are full steam ahead and we're just going. And, mm-hmm. I feel like we're there, and so I'm excited about that.
So if there's any students or parents that want to get to know any more information about UART and your program, what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, the website would be great. our Instagram, the Bryn School, is, I believe, the Instagram. Oh gosh, look at you! You put me on the spot.
look on Instagram,
yeah.
And the website.
Yeah, and we're under you, the Bryn School. So our school is named the Bryn School, B-R-I-N-D School. Thank you to the Bryn family for giving us, for being very nice, generous donors that we can name the school after them. but we are UArts, part of UArts. So, the website, Instagram is awesome. You can also email me if you want, and then I can give my email.
Go ahead.
Or do you want me to? Oh, it's real easy. It's jbrent@uarts.edu.
Wonderful. Well, Jacob, it's always a pleasure to have you around here, and we hope to see you again real soon at one of our workshops.
I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait.
All right. Well, we will also see you this summer at Conservatory. You're going to join us for one of the visiting schools at the end. So that's lovely and wonderful and a great opportunity for our students. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. This has been
awesome.
So fun. Looking forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, we'll chat soon. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.